This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk. I'm joined on the phone now by Mr. Giles Bandreth. Good afternoon, Giles.
Good afternoon, and it's good to be with you, Paul, and congratulations, Paul, on the entrepreneurship, the awards you've won, and on Business Bunker.
Oh, thank you so much. It's very kind of you.
Well, I was thinking about you in recent weeks, because I've been up in Edinburgh, at the Edinburgh Fringe, and I was with some young people, and we were talking about, they were students, what they were going to do in their lives, and they said, oh, we're not going into business. And I said, oh, really? I said, don't you realize you're actually in business? They said, what do you mean, we're in theatre? I said, it's a business. It's called show business for a reason. And what's amazing to me, and it really amazed me, we had this long conversation, is they didn't realize that all the things they do are actually about business, and they didn't realize it. And I said, well, I wonder why this is. And I think it's partly because business doesn't get the coverage it should. You know, you look at a newspaper or magazine, or turn on the radio or the TV, and they're writing what they think is news, and it very rarely encompasses business. Mm. But actually, the Edinburgh Fringe, with, you know, whatever it had this year, I think something like 3,500 shows and 300 venues, many of them young, run by kids, they're actually getting a taste of what it's like to be an entrepreneur, put on a show, make it work, raise the budget, raise the funding, get the subsidy in, or not as the case may be, sell the tickets. It's actually business, and business is what makes everything tick. And yet, we very rarely talk about it. So I'm honoured to be joining you in your bunker, Paul.
Giles, thank you so much for that, and I couldn't agree with you more. And funny enough, it's one of the main reasons why we started this show 10 years ago, is because we didn't think, especially small businesses, didn't get the coverage that it deserved. And as you probably know from your time as a Member of Parliament, the small business community plays a huge part in the economy of the United Kingdom.
Forgive me, not my time as a Member of Parliament, my time in life.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am one of these people. I mean, I've been a small business person all my life, and I know the reality of what it's like, and my wife can tell you, she's been sitting up in the attic doing the VAT since it was introduced, and a nightmare, those quarterly returns, and I remember years ago when I didn't take it seriously, we were once fined £2,000, and I thought, we are being fined for actually raising money for, I mean, what the hell is going on here? So don't think I don't know what it is like, and it gets worse. The more they promise, you know, to simplify, make it, it's going to be a leaner, you know, we're going to be more business-friendly, the less business-friendly it becomes.
Absolutely.
So I do know what it's like, not just from having been an MP, but from having run my own businesses, some reasonably successfully, but some unsuccessfully, actually. And, you know, it's a roller coaster.
It certainly is, and failure is part of the process. To be honest, it's you know, you have to learn sometimes what doesn't work in order to know what does work.
Oh, and I do know. Well, I tell you, I had a very good, a sanitary experience 30 or more years ago with a business that failed, and I realised how we got everything wrong. The basic idea was right, but we lacked, well, the basic thing we lacked, the three most important things, words, I think, in the business vocabulary are don't dabble, focus. Actually decide what you're trying to do, focus on it, and deliver it. And we didn't. We had ambition, but we didn't have clarity of ambition. And anyway, that's the past. This is the future, and we're here to talk about the Southeast Construction Expo.
I just want to ask you one thing. You touched on the fact that you've been at the Edinburgh Fringe in the last week or so. Have you done the Fringe before, Giles?
I have. The Fringe actually changed my life.
Right.
I was a Member of Parliament, as you mentioned. I was a Member of Parliament until the people spoke, and in my case, they spoke in no uncertain terms. Because my wife said to me when the results came in, Giles, for you, when one door closes, it's shut. She did not help, though, because she actually put our house in the constituency up for sale during the campaign. I said, this isn't sending out quite the right signal. She said, the signal is immaterial. These guys really don't like you, Giles. Every other house in the street, this is true. Vote Brandreth, vote on all the houses in the street. Vote Brandreth, vote Brandreth, vote Brandreth. Our house, for sale. Anyway, So I was a Member of Parliament for 5 years. It was completely fascinating. I loved it. I ended up at the Treasury. I was Lord Commissioner of the Treasury, Government Whip. Fascinating time. A really worthwhile experience. I don't regret it for a moment. But I knew I was out. What was I going to do? And curiously, the Edinburgh Fringe came to the rescue because my wife said to me, well, do whatever you most want to do in the world. And I thought, what I most want to do in the world is put on a musical.
Right.
Be in a musical. Star in a musical. And a friend of mine said, well, the place to go is the Edinburgh Fringe because they'll take anybody there. It's open access.
Right.
Everybody gets a chance. And you can be, you know, a kid, a student. You can be a world-famous professional. You can be an old person. My friend Nicholas Parsons, I was with him last week. He had a show at the Edinburgh Fringe at the age of 94. So everybody, there's literally shows for four-year-olds and then 94-year-olds putting on shows. 3,500 of them. Some very, very good. Some not so good. All of them interesting and worthwhile and a very exciting experience. So I did this musical. In fact, I did what I ended up doing was 100 musicals in 100 minutes.
Really?
I wanted to cram it all in. And it was a big success, I'm pleased to say. I didn't expect it to be. And having been a Member of Parliament, you know, at the end when people stood up, I thought they were standing up to cheer. They were standing up to cheer. It was quite extraordinary.
Brilliant.
And we sold out and we transferred to the West End and we toured the country. And so I feel a great debt to the Edinburgh Fringe. And I go back every few years. So this year I was doing a show called Break a Leg, which is all about the theatre, my time in the theatre.
Okay.
Lots of name-dropping stories about great actors I'd met from Laurence Olivier and Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor, right up to the present day.
Right.
And we were very lucky. We sold out at every performance, and I'm going on tour with it next year.
Oh, fantastic.
Which will be fun, taking it around the country. So that was a good experience. The only trouble with being in Edinburgh for the whole of August, which I was, is you miss summer because they don't believe in it up there. they just don't do summer.
Right.
But they do pleasant autumn.
Okay.
So it's the wind and the rain are there, the autumnal breezes, but not a ray of sunshine. Umbrella up every day. So I'm very glad to be down south.
Cool. And talking about being down south, a couple of things that I read about you when I was doing some research the other way. I understand you have a kind of connection with us down here in Kent, and particularly the seaside at Broadstairs.
I have lots of connections with Kent. I love Kent. I was, in a sense, I feel I was brought up there, though I wasn't. I'm basically a London person. But my father went to school in Kent,
right.
Ramsgate, a place called St. Lawrence College.
Oh, I know St. Lawrence, yes, yeah, yeah.
And we went as children always to Broadstairs, to the Isle of Thanet, for holidays. And, oops, I'm just thinking, oh, that's you. Is that you calling me on another line? How amusing.
Nope.
Forgive me. We're now driven mad by these machines everywhere.
I've
got too many mobile phones.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so as a child, I went to Broadstairs on a regular basis and just loved it. And what's interesting, actually, is there's a bit of a revival happening. It's interesting how a lot of what people say is usually a few years out of date. Because I was with somebody the other day saying, oh, British seaside resorts, all over, it's all dead. I said, no, 10, 15, 20 years ago, things were looking pretty ropey. But actually, the best of them are coming back.
Yes.
And I know this partly because I'm associated with the British Peers Society, P-I-E-R-S, nothing to do with the House of Lords, I'm a respectable person, and Seaside Peers. And a lot of them have been refurbished, reinvented. But Broadstairs, while it went through, obviously, Victorian, Edwardian times, it was a very classy seaside resort, is coming back as a very fashionable resort. And it's beautiful, lovely hotels there, lovely restaurants. The Pavilion on the Sands has recently been acquired, is being refurbished, going to be turned into, you know. And all the way around that coast, you know, places like Folkestone, which people wrote off again 20, 25 years ago, the advent of Saga, the new art gallery, all the things that have happened around there. And what's interesting is that it's business that turns it around. It's business that does it. People have lovely, bright ideas, but actually, to make it happen, you need to have the entrepreneur, and she or he has to find the money, raise the money, focus on it, and deliver it. So I do know Kent. My wife was brought up in Ashford, in Kent.
Which is where we are in the studio here.
Well, good luck. I hope you find the studio every day. It's quite an adventure, I find, now going around Ashford. When I first knew her in the 1960s, Ashford was almost a market town.
Yeah,
and, you know, you could walk casually from the railway station to where she lived in North Street on beautiful little side streets.
Yeah.
But now... but anyway,
It's a lot bigger now. It's a lot bigger.
And has the railway thing worked there?
Yeah, it has to a large extent because it is very quick to get to London now. You can get to London in 30 minutes or so. Ashford is quite lucky because we have a lot of local industry as well, but obviously a lot of people commute to London. But it's a two-way street. A lot of businesses are attracted to Ashford because it's quick to get to from London. So it has fairly much worked for the town here.
But my campaign to get Ebbsfleet renamed Agincourt has not got off the ground. This is when the Eurostar used to come into Waterloo, and it no longer came into Waterloo, it started going into St Pancras.
Right.
I thought, well, now we just need to redress the balance here.
Just to make the French feel good about it. Yeah.
Exactly. Let's call Ebbsfleet. Look, what sort of name is Ebbsfleet? Agincourt. Yeah. That has the ring of glory about it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Giles, you're going to be speaking at the dinner of the Southeast Construction Expo on the 13th of September. And
I've been to this before. This time it's at Ardingly, I think, near Hayward Heath. And I'm going as a guest of my friends at Wilmot Dixon, which is a business I've known for many years. I now think it's a billion pound business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what I love... the construction industry is that it's fundamental. You know, it builds the world we live in.
Mm.
You know, the house you are in, the flat you live in, if it isn't well built, if it isn't, you know, properly insulated, if it isn't secure, if it isn't safe, if the fire regs haven't been obeyed, if it is an attractive place, you don't have a safe and good life.
Mm.
Building is fundamental, and the way we build our world is the world in which we live.
Mm.
So people who build well and build optimistically and build creatively, I love. And the thing about the Southeast Construction Expo is basically everybody in the building industry, from, you know, owner-driver people with really small businesses right through the billion-pound players like Wilmot Dixon, they're all there.
Yep.
So it's a big expo. And then in the evening, we have this sort of fun gala dinner, and we also... we raise lots of money for a very nice charity, which is Chestnut Tree House.
Absolutely.
The Children's Hospice for Sussex and the southeast of Hampshire. And I think they've got about 300 children, young people, who've got these life-shortening conditions. And they look after them and bereaved families too. And it's just brilliant. I've seen the work they do. And it costs a fortune, I think, you know, sort of nearly $4 million a year to run.
Absolutely,
so,
it does.
Not much of that comes from central government because they're busy creating new regulations and don't have time to spend on these good causes. So anyway, that's what we're doing. So it's a fundraising occasion, but it's also a fun occasion with the best people in construction.
Fantastic.
Will you be there? Do you come? Have you been?
Yes, I will be there. Funnily enough, I was supposed to be the MC for the evening at the dinner, but unfortunately I'm already booked to speak somewhere else in the evening.
Oh.
But I will be there during the day, so I will pop round and say hello before I have to leave.
They're leaving me in charge, are they, in the evening?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
Now,
good.
Before you go, Giles, I need to ask you a piece of advice.
Yes.
Because on the 12th of September, I'm on a panel, chairing a public speaking event called the Speakers Panel. And what it is they're offering people the chance to have a go at speaking in public. So you are one of the top public speakers and raconteurs ever. So I just wondered if you had a piece of advice that you would give to budding speakers that are thinking about having a public speaking career.
Oh, I don't know about a career, but about speaking, my main advice would be take your time. Enjoy it. I mean, I've been doing it for a long, long time, for literally half a century. I mean, I began as a schoolboy, taking part in schoolboy public speaking competitions, and I first was sort of did it professionally when I was still in my teens. And then when I left university, I joined an agency run by Cyril Fletcher.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Fletcher, the honored man.
Yeah.
And he had this agency, And I was the youngest person on his agency lists, and I was sent around the country. I remember standing in for somebody called Godfrey Wynne when I was very young. Mm. And I was stood in for Godfrey Wynne because he just died. And the organizer of the event said, we must have Mr. Wynne. And Cyril said, well, you can't have Mr. Wynne. He's dead. So you're going to get this young man, Mr. Brandreth. He's very, very good. And they said, we must have Godfrey Wynne. We've booked Godfrey Wynne. They said, well, you don't seem to understand. Mr. Godfrey Wynne has died. You're getting Mr. Brandreth instead. No, we must have Mr. Wynne. We've printed the programs. Anyway, they got me instead. So I've been doing it. No, I think my chief bit of advice actually would be to, if you can, and it's very, very difficult, to relax.
Mm.
Take your time. People always rush when they're nervous. Mm. I do myself. Mm. And actually, what you've got to do is just stand up there. When you begin, look at the room. Don't look at your notes. Preferably, if you can do it without notes, that's best. Really is. Mm. Without a set text, that's best. If it is, know what you want to say in your head. Remember what you want to say. Don't speak for too long.
Yep.
Know that it's three key points you've got to make. Make sure you understand what they are beforehand. And make those three points from the heart, using the head, taking your time to do it. Don't get up there in a sort of tense state. And look comfortable. Look easy. Look happy. And look them in the eye.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, also, actually, so my real advice would be take your time, but basically the other advice is stand up, speak up, shut up. Nobody complained about a speech being too short.
Lovely. Giles, thank you so much for joining us. It's been
a great pleasure, and rest assured, if you come to collect your CBD points at the Southeast Construction Expo over dinner, they'll be quite likely given to you, and it'll be a Brexit-free zone, I guarantee. Mm-hmm. No Brexit. We're going to have a happy night.
Fantastic. Giles, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Great pleasure, and congratulations. Business Bunker rocks.
Thank you very much, Giles. You're a star. Well done. See you soon.
Bye now.
Cheers.
Bye.
Now. Bye-bye. The absolutely fabulous Mr. Giles Brandreth.
I think you should have tried a bit harder to get him to speak a bit more.
Yeah, he's fantastic, isn't he? He's brilliant. I'm really looking forward. It's a shame I can't go to the evening. I was, as I said to Giles, I was supposed to MC the evening, but I'm speaking somewhere else, which I'm looking forward to.
Are you saying he only got the gig because you're not available?
Yeah, basically. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
He didn't say that while he was.
No, I wouldn't do that.
I've got nothing to say.
Well, we're talking about the Construction Expo. There's something I need to tell you about that is in line with that. Let me just get my... where are we? Right. Giles was talking about raising funds for the Chestnut Tree Hospice, which is a children's hospice in Sussex and South Hampshire, similar to the Melzer House here in Kent. Yeah, and they care for around 300 children and young people with life-shortening conditions and their families, as well as over 200 bereaved families. And they do everything from providing a few hours respite from round-the-clock responsibilities of caring for a sick child to supporting families through some of their toughest moments. And the Chestnut Tree House provides care at their purpose-built hospice near Arundel, and it also does at-home care as well. It costs over nearly $4 million a year to provide the services, and they get less than 6% of that from central government. So the Construction Expo, Carol and the team, are trying to raise money to help the Chestnut Tree. And what they're looking for is a prize to be auctioned. If you could donate something special, a prize that's very special to be auctioned at the night, you will get two VIP tickets for the top table to actually join Giles at the dinner on his table. You'll also get a full-page advert in the event guide and some other stuff that's going on. But those are the two main things. If you can donate a prize that can be auctioned on the night for the Chestnut Tree House. If you are in a position to do that, if you could email Carol Black, Carol with an E, Black at bestbusinessevents.co.uk, and let her know. That will be useful, or you can email me.
Also, they've got another website, which is
www.constructionexpouk.co.uk.
Web.
Fantastic, thank you.